Today on CityCast Denver. South Park is celebrating 25 years on TV this week, with two nights of concerts at Red Rocks and a traveling exhibit of memorabilia from the show's impressive run. That's 25 seasons, hundreds of episodes, and thousands of opportunities to make fun of everything and everyone under the sun. Something my guest today wishes the show's creators would do to her.
Yeah, I would prefer to make fun of everybody else.
My friend Kaylin Heffernan is the biggest South Park fan I know, so I knew this was finally my chance to ask my well-read, thoughtful, former mayoral candidate friend why she likes this show that rips on everyone, and what it says about us here in Colorado that we like it so much too. And watch out, just like South Park, this conversation has some explicit moments. Today is Tuesday, August 9th, 2022. I'm Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver. Kaylin Heffernan, welcome back to CityCast Denver.
Bree Davies, thank you very much.
So the 25th anniversary of South Park is this, they're celebrating this week, and we've been talking about this as a team, like, what kind of show do we want to do? And I was like, I want to talk to the biggest South Park fan I know, and that is you. Do you remember the first time you saw an episode of South Park?
Ooh. No, I don't remember the very first time, but I definitely remember, like, my early childhood memories of getting to watch South Park late at night. So I probably didn't jump in till after a couple years of South Park. I never had cable television, so I didn't start watching till the reruns were on UPN at, like, 12:30 at night or whatever, past 11 p.m.
I didn't even know that they did that. So on Channel 20, they played reruns.
Correct. And yeah, and pretty late at night. So that was kind of my, like, alone time as a kid and in a chaotic household. And I would, like, be creative at night, and, like, I wasn't, like, banned from it. I would have been able to watch it, but it was kind of this raunchy kid show. I'm going down south, I'm gonna have myself a time.
Friendly faces everywhere, humble folks without temptation. Going down south, I'm gonna... What is it about South Park that you love?
Well, you know me enough to know that, like, I'm pretty into offensive humor, and I can be a pretty offensive person, but I have morals, and I care. So, like, I find that South Park has always just had this really distinctive way of, like, bullying every bully and being a bully, but in a very inclusive way. They are, like, super offensive, and I think that, you know, they go for the jugulars pretty much in every episode. But they've been doing, you know, after 25 years and, like, after the range of issues that they've taken up, and they've done it all, you know, they seem to, like, really hit on every sensitive subject.
Your son said some things to a fourth grade girl that frankly make me want to puke. Now that I'm principal, I'm not going to allow anyone at the school to be made feel unsafe and harassed.
What did he say?
You'll have to excuse my language. I don't think Caitlyn Jenner is a hero.
And they don't just do it for the sake of it. Like, there's always some moral to the story. There's always, like, a conclusion, which I appreciate. Yeah. And again, it's like, you know, 25 seasons. Like, there's definitely some episodes that just don't do it.
That don't land, yeah.
And you know me being, like, you know, a DIY kid, even before I knew what DIY meant, like, it's such a simple 2D animation, like, and even the process, which I didn't know about until much later, the process of them making it being just so, like, quick, it really, like, you know, forces you to, like, pay attention to other things. So, like, the voices, the character plot lines, the sarcasm, the humor. You really have to grip onto that because the animation, everything else is just so, like, simple.
Oh, my God! They killed Kenny! You bastard!
And, yeah, I think they always take something that's already kind of a touchy subject and just, like, exaggerate the hell out of it, you know, to the point of, like, really, and why I find humor just, like, such this powerful tool, similarly to, like, music, is that it really can make you think about things in different ways. And, you know, laughter is so universal that it's like, if things make you laugh, even really bad things can make you laugh. I think it gives you, your brain, kind of this opportunity to, like, do something about it or reflect on it in different ways that's outside of yourself. Because, you know, by laughing, you're literally projecting all this wild stuff inside. It's like crying, you know? It's like such a good release.
They allow you to laugh at things that maybe we're not always feel like we're allowed to. Okay, so I'm thinking of this episode that, like, I was even afraid to talk about. But did you watch the trans athlete episodes where it's like Macho Man Randy Savage, yes. I think, is Heather the bodybuilder?
Yes.
And nothing about him is different. He's just calling himself a woman and competing in women's sports.
I can't tell you how free I feel now that I've started identifying as a woman.
And is it correct you just started identifying as female 2 weeks ago?
I'm not here to talk about my transition. I'm here to kick some f***ing ass.
God, I even, like, don't have the words for it, but it was, like, the most extreme version of something that we're talking about. It's not in no way reality, but it was tapping into this issue in a way that allowed us to, like, laugh for a minute, you know? But it's still, I don't know.
It's, yeah, that one, like, and, the, you know, this is South Park. Like, they kind of, like, like, they really went there, you know? But I think that they've always found a way to, like, be offensive and have some kind of, like, thought piece. If you're just doing it to, like, diminish people or just for the sake of the laugh and there's no, like, conscious behind it, like, I just can't do it.
This episode is brought to you by the Museum of Outdoor Arts. Because on Sunday, April 28th, the museum is hosting La Primavera Festival, a celebration of spring, to kick off event season at Marjorie Park. La Primavera Festival is a family-friendly event inspired in part by the Gaelic Bealtaine celebration and European May Day, marking the beginning of summer. And the star of the show is really something special. They're premiering the latest permanent installation by local artist Lonnie Hansen. It's called The Cabinet of Curiosities and Impossibilities. Hansen describes it as an enchanting homage to English curio shops, featuring a collection of relics from fairy tales and nursery rhymes that tell stories about early optics, geometry, magical tools, celestial wonders, and more. The festival includes a pancake brunch, live Celtic music, maypole dancing, flower crown and basket making, yard games, and a bar for adult beverages. Tickets are available now at moaonline.org. That's moaonline.org.
So this is something I want to ask you about as someone who's your friend, but also someone who's worked in the political sphere with you on disability rights issues. What do you think about their disability representation on the show?
You know, they did have Timmy before many people.
And Timmy is a person who uses a wheelchair.
Timmy is me. Big head. And all he says is Timmy. And I haven't actually really thought about it a ton, but thinking about it now, like, as a significantly disabled person in elementary school, majority of the time, those kids are segregated, right? And, like, they're in a special ed class. So, like, even the fact that, like, Timmy is nonverbal and, like, only says his name and feels kind of like this other, like, seems to get the point across well, at least to me. And, like, Jimmy is, like, this bad comedian.
And he's also disabled.
And I could relate to, like, his character, and I find, and I can be one of them, is that, like, people with disabilities, a lot of us choose to kind of be this, like, out-and-center person to kind of flip the script of, like, we're already being tokenized and stared at and blah, 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 so, you know, let's make it a show. And sometimes that doesn't land very well, and I think Jimmy's a, like, great example of, like, one of those disabled kids who, like, takes, you know, thinks he's the funniest person ever and really isn't.
Knock, knock. Who's there? An interrupting cow. An interrupting cow.
Moo!
Who? What a terrific audience.
So.
That's, like, the joke, too, is, like, he's a bad comedian.
Yeah. And that felt very, very right on. And, you know, same with trans, same with any marginalized identity. We become conditioned to, like, you know, we have to get on the side of these oppressed people. And then it's like, well, if we don't hold everybody accountable in the same ways, then we're actually just reinforcing ableism, racism, homophobia, all these things, right?
Yeah.
I just think for entertainment, for comedy, for politics, for satire, for pop culture, like, I can't think of anybody who's done it better.
Do you think there's anything Colorado-like about their sense of humor? Is there anything that resonates with you as someone who deeply identifies with where we grew up?
Yeah, everything. And I'm almost kind of like, I'm like, did these guys really spend much time here? Because, like, from what I know, they grew up in, like, Littleton or
In Conifer, yeah.
Yes, Castle Rock. Like, they're from the burbs. They went to Boulder. They left for L.A. immediately. I'm like, how do these guys, like, still get it? So maybe they have, like, plants or, like, they got...
I think their writer's room has to have people that are just watching Denver all the time, because the way that they skewer our neighborhoods, and, you know, we were, you know, yeah, the Soto Sopa episode, right?
Oh, man.
This is historic Soto Sopa. It's our vibrant and charming arts and foods district.
I enjoy how you've retained the lower income housing with the updated and quaint urban developments.
That's really what our town is about.
But also, like, I remember now one episode where it was, like, all the Colorado celebrities. And it was, like, Jake Jabs and Tim Tebow and, like, the Shane Diamond guy. And, like, man, if you know, you know. Like, there's nothing better. And Soto Sopa, you know, I knew immediately, like, Lodo, Loha.
Yeah, like, I know.
This is, they're talking about here, and I'm going to Lodo that week, and it was like, live where you work where you play, and I could see all the imagery on 16th Street Mall, like, literally on the mall ride, and it's like the same, they just exaggerated it, and it's exactly right, like, they're spot on, the Union Station area, like, all that imagery is Soto Sopa.
Yeah. No, they nail it. And I always wonder, I'm like, is this appealing to other people as it is to us? But maybe it's just that extra layer that makes it funny to us on top of all the jokes.
Everybody that I am like, oh, South Park. And they're like, oh, yeah, that is Colorado. Like, I think it's cool and subtle enough that, like, whether or not you're from here, you could still enjoy it. But, like, if you're from here, like, you extra enjoy it. You know, like, the Casa Bonita is still a funny episode for whatever reason. But, like, if you've been to Casa Bonita, like, you're extra gonna love it.
It's always funny to me when folks realize it's a real place. They're like, oh, my God, Casa Bonita is real? I'm like, oh, It is.
That Colfax is real. Like, the Denver skyline, the way they depict it. I'm like, oh my God, you guys are so good. And, to you know, back to your question of, like, how Denver, Colorado is their humor. Like, I think it is so very, because, you know, Denver is this, like, weird, magical, special, big city, but wow, small town, cow town, ridiculous. Like, the crap that we can get away with in Denver, it's just like we are this landlocked anomaly, you know, in so many ways.
There's a certain quality to the vibe and energy that is Sodo Sopa. From the independent merchants and unique cafes to the rustic charm of a mixed income crowd.
So I have to ask, I know something about you that is that you have always dreamed of being a character.
Yeah.
Who's like written or drawn into South Park. If Matt and Trey were to listen to this, what would you want them to know about you? Like, why is this like your dream?
Well, it's just like my humor, you know? And like, I feel like so much of my life is a South Park episode. I mean, the mayor race, we talked about it often. Like, is this not a South Park episode? Like, this is real, but also it's feeling like a South Park episode. Like, some of those debates, whoa.
But you think you'd be okay with them making fun of you?
Yeah, I would prefer to make fun of everybody else. You know, I would prefer to be like the biggest bully.
You want to be the bully on South Park?
Yeah, I want to bully Timmy, probably. Like, bully the other cripples. Or, like, maybe just bully Cartman, because nobody's ever really come for Cartman. He is the ultimate bully.
Yes.
So, yeah, I want to be the bully, you know? I want to bully the bully, maybe Cartman, I guess.
So if we convince South Park to do this episode, maybe it's like your mayoral run and there's some bullying in there. What would be the moral at the end of your story?
Disabled people can be bullies too.
You hear that, South Park? That's a perfect South Park story. Disabled people can be bullies too. Oh, Kaylin, this is so fun. I can't wait to watch some South Park with you.
Oh my gosh, you had me watch it last night. I caught up on the newest episode and wow, they're so good. So thank you.
And here's what else Denverites are talking about. A massive rainstorm over the weekend caused parts of the city to flood, including one recently finished and highly contested infrastructure project, the Central 70 Highway expansion. The section of I-70 in particular was recently reopened after a remodel that cost well over $1 billion. That remodel was, in part, supposed to prevent flooding, which stranded nearly a dozen motorists on Sunday night. The Denver Post reports that CDOT has opened an investigation into the issue and stated that the stormwater drainage system for the project wasn't quite complete. Critics of the I-70 expansion, like me, are feeling a great amount of I told you so. And finally, a follow-up on Ballot Trip, our four-part investigation into the future of psychedelics in Colorado. At a press conference on the steps of the Colorado Capitol yesterday, organizers behind one of the proposed measures said that they failed to collect enough signatures to make the ballot.
Yeah, so I just want to keep everyone in mind that we knew going into this that this would be an uphill battle, but we wanted to create the dialogue so people knew why there are two initiatives and how the people that really sparked this movement here in Denver were not on board with what's happening right now.
According to Chris Walker, the reporter behind Ballot Trip, this means that only the big money-backed Initiative 58 with its Medical First framework will be up for a vote this fall. I'll drop some links to the whole Ballot Trip series in the show notes if you want to learn more about how this all went down. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell Cartman about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See you later.
This
kind of transphobic and bigoted hate speech isn't gonna fly here, bro!